Meanwhile, to the southwest, where an old railway on the Limerick-Kerry border has become the focus of a bitter row between the Great Southern Trail, that's the GST group, who want to develop the line from West Limerick to Listowel as a walking and cycling route, and some local landowners who fear it could impact on their way of life. With threats of legal action and some locals erecting barricades, the standoff has pitted neighbour against neighbour, with neither side willing to back down. Brian O'Connell went to Listowel and the surrounding areas. He has been meeting some of those on opposing sides in this bitter row. He's with me now in studio. Brian, set out the background first of all, if you would, please.
I suppose this is a row that's been going on for about 20 years. The Great Southern Trail Group, they've been pressing for this railway line. It runs, it's part of the old North Kerry line, runs on the old Limerick to Finish and Tralee line as well. It's about 60 miles long in total, Sean, and they're hoping to open this as a walking and cycling route. Used was last used as a railway line in about the mid to late 1970s. Now, work on 40 kilometres of the line on the Limerick side of it, that's been completed and it's open, and there hasn't been any reported problems. However, a group representing farmers, they're laying claim to sections of the line in Kerry. So they say that the then-named CIE effectively abandoned the line, and they want concerns regarding rights of way, access points, potential antisocial behaviour and so on. They want them addressed, and they haven't ruled out legal action.
So they say CIE effectively abandoned the line, made it available to everybody and anybody. What is Irish Rail saying about all of this?
Well, Irish Rail support plans to extend the track into Kerry, and they strongly deny the fact that the allegation that they abandoned the line. Now, they did take up the actual tracks in the 1980s, but they say they own the line and that the land and the land it runs on. I mean, the ironic thing is that they bought this land maybe from great-great-great-grandfathers, potentially of some of the landowners who might now, you know, have an issue with it. Irish Rail have a fibre optic cable running underneath the track, and this in effect they say is proof that they are using the land, and they say they'll fight vigorously any attempt to take over the land or to lay claim to it in the courts. Part of the issue here is I think many people have built houses very close to the line, assuming, I suppose, like you would naturally, that it was disused and never again to be opened up. But now they're faced with having people walking through their back gardens or very close to them, cycling on a Sunday. One family that I saw have renovated a station house, Sean, and that's literally built pretty much right onto the platform. So obviously their privacy would be completely eroded.
Presumably they bought that station house from Éireann Rodhéireann.
Yeah, well, that was my point. Well, maybe not a fair in Rodhéireann, but they bought it off a landowner, and they bought it knowing that they didn't own the land adjacent to it.
Right. Now, up till now, individual farmers and representatives of landowners, they haven't spoken in public at all or to the media about their concerns, but you managed to get some of them chatting.
I did, and some of the farmers I met didn't want to be identified because they felt that they might be targeted unfairly. And as you said, they've never spoken to the media before now. There was an attempt by a local group to walk the line earlier, in the year, but they were stopped by a barricade which was put up by some local landowners. So John Hannan is a spokesperson for the Kerry Abandoned Rail Line Action Group, and John took me to meet one farm not far from Listowel near Kilmorna. And as we walked down the lane into the farm, he told me about some of the concerns.
Where we're standing here, we're standing right on the track, very adjacent to a dwelling house there, and there's some farm buildings which are less than 20 feet away.
That's the line there. Now I can see a road here, I can see a slight gap in the hedgerow here and a gap here, yes. But obviously there's no track on the ground.
No, there's no track. The track has been removed for, as you can see, it is effectively abandoned by CIE.
If this was opened up to the public, you'd have the public walking right through this access point into this farmyard here.
Absolutely, and the main concerns, we're actually in the farmyard here. It would open up kind of like effectively a rat run, you know, for anyone who would be interested in robbing or breaking into houses and things like that. There could be insurance issues as well, because you're along the track here where there's actually no level crossing between the county bounds and Listowel. So where do people get on and off the track? The likely thing is that they're going to say, we're on a laneway here where the track goes across, and next thing, people will be entering and exiting over private property. And who's going to take charge of the insurance issues regarding that? Who has the responsibility?
So that's John Hannan there, Brian, representing some of the landowners near Listowel who feel they'd be affected. You also visited a woman who has a farm nearby, and she told you about her concerns.
This lady's sister has two small children, and you could see the line really, or at least the hedges that mark out the line from at the back of their garden, maybe 100 yards from the back door of their house. So I started out by making the point that surely a public cycle and walking path down at the back there would be far less intrusive than if Irish Rail decided to reopen the line for trains.
If a train was flying up and down that all day long, there's nobody going to jump off a train and come in and snatch your child from the back garden. There's nobody going to come in and rob your TV or take your oil or anything off a running, because if they jump off the train, I'm sure they won't get up in a hurry. Well, we certainly don't want to be caged in living in the country. That seems to be the answer on the table. Industrial fencing, like to secure your property.
They've opened it up in Limerick and there hasn't been a spate of burglaries. So why would it be any different in Kerry?
Well, what are they waiting for it to happen like, you know? The Limerick line hasn't gone on. I don't know if there's a unique situation like Bunyara. You've got 64 residential houses in a small, short area so closely to the line, but yet only 2 miles from the local town. The line had been used in the past for antisocial behaviour, joyriding, but since it got overgrown completely, it has stopped. Since we had the guards out, the drugs dealing and all that, it has stopped. But if you open up the line again, you're going to, we've been told you have to have access routes for ambulances. If an ambulance can get on it, a car can get on it. And, you know, maybe it's not happening in Limerick, maybe it is, we don't know for sure. But one thing for sure is it's happening in the canals in Dublin that were opened up as walkways. And now we know in an area like Dublin, you've no choice. The land is at a premium and you have to go with it. But down in the country, you have a choice. There's loads of land.
And is there not a part of you that would love a walkway at the back here on a Sunday now like today, a grand fresh day you could take off on the bike?
Yes, I love the walkway and I'll go into Listowel. There's a beautiful park in there and that's a resource for the whole area, not just 64 houses out in Bunyara. It's for the whole town. You know, we're in today's society and today's society is what it is, and you know, you've just got to work with it. You can't keep going back and saying it was an open walkway and it should be again. People have put their life savings into their homes, they've built their homes here, and you just can't kind of drop this bombshell on them just like that.
I suppose it has to be said, Sean, that these people did buy their land or built their houses knowing that the line adjacent was there and that they didn't own that land, but I suppose they felt, like we said, it would be disused and never built upon. We'll come to the actual line in a few minutes and hear some of those in favour, but as you heard there are some very strong feelings locally, particularly around the potential for crime.
And as we have been talking about it, Brian, some listener reaction. Darianne Morgan saying, Sean, sounds like the field is alive and well in Kerry. And Jerry says, I live on the main street of a village and people look through my windows all the time. And then, Peter Murta might associate with this one. On the Camino Walk, people walk in and around people's yards, gardens, etc. on old established roads. It doesn't seem to be a problem with them. Now, Brian, you also, I think, met another landowner living next to what was once a railway bridge, which was dismantled, and he has concerns as well.
Yeah, this man felt strongly and he says he'll consider his options in terms of securing his property, as he put it.
They're going to have to really elevate this bridge. The moment the railway, as it remains, is elevated over my site. So if you're going to have to put an elevated bridge over the road, it's going to be way higher again. So that is a privacy issue and a security issue as well, like, you know. The railway line, CIE never maintained the boundaries on it, and on a number of times cattle have actually broken into my site, so I have been forced to try and secure the boundary at the back of my site. Going back a number of years ago there was a car abandoned on the railway line here, just 20 metres from where we're standing. It's providing access to anyone, to our property, like, I don't know. And even the houses back along, to the back of them houses, it's providing access.
Are the feelings strong locally then about this issue?
Well, I mean, my main issues with this is our privacy and our security. We're not opposed to the railway walk, but we don't want it where it's actually proposed at the moment. That's our only issue with it, you know. I mean, if they can come to some agreement to locate it someplace else where it is more accessible by Gardaí and more vetted and things like that, we have no issues with that. God forbid if anyone did get injured, you know, where do we stand? Well, we're afraid that this thing will be plowed ahead and we'll have to deal with our own issues afterwards, you know. And I mean, all we want is consultation in plenty of time, good time, like, you know.
Brian, it would appear that this, on the face of it, looks like a very simple idea that could do an awful lot of good for an awful lot of people. They're two-thirds of the way there, 40 kilometres of 60 are reopened. Now, what about efforts to try to broker some sort of a deal? Was it through the county council? You've got, obviously, the local TD minister with an interest in this. Obviously, Jimmy Deanahan, Leo Varadkar, presumably would favour it as well as a tourism project. So, is there any effort made to pull everybody together?
Well, the local landowners say they won't talk with the group who are in favour of opening the line. And that's fair enough. I mean, that group aren't the agency tasked with providing the funding and so on.
And
so
safety seems a big issue as well.
Safety does seem a big issue, and I can understand that. Now, I know in Limerick, for example, they might have erected screens along the way to try and protect people's privacy. And the part of the line that I walked to, we'll come to later, there were gates put up to allow cattle walk past. So, you know, the group, I think, are open to listen to all those concerns. I know a meeting has been called now with Kerry County Council between some of the landowners, and you'd hope that some of the issues might be trashed out there. But as that man said there, he felt he's had to secure the line in the past and parts of it are overgrown now. And, you know, he felt that that overgrowth has offered him a level of protection from people getting into his back garden. Some landowners made the point also, Sean, that just because there was cable under the line, they felt didn't mean that it was being maintained. And they said, for example, ESB has cable under farms all around the country, but this doesn't give the ESB the right of putting, you know, roads or walkways through people's
land. Not half enough of it underground from the views of a lot of farmers we've been hearing about, but let's not digress on that one, Brian.
They're also studying the recent Lissadell House judgment, which obviously involved rights of way, and some of the landowners say they'll consider their next move if they feel their concerns aren't met by Kerry County Council. Now, while as a group, obviously, they cannot take cases of adverse possession, they could individually dispute whether the line has been in continuous use. I don't know how it would stand up legally, but that option could be open to them. It would be a very costly process, though.
Brian, you also did go out and you did literally walk the line where it has been opened in Limerick. Is there much use being made of it?
I was there lunchtime on Sunday. When I was there, it was a mixture of families, walkers, people out for a run, some tourists. Now, I joined the track around Abbey Field and we made our way along to the point where it hits the Kerry border and you literally can't go any further. So along the way, there are gates, as I said, to allow farmers to let the cattle across. There's a couple of benches have been erected. I suppose one of the people who's been trying to get this project opened for decades is Liam O'Mahony. Now, Liam is adamant there are no legal issues and I walked some of the route with him.
We've just crossed the border now, Brian. And
I'm in Kerry now, am I?
In County Kerry now, yes.
I feel cuter.
Well, I don't know, could anybody be as cute as a real Kerry person?
So the gravel path has ended here. We're onto a grassy path. And as I look forward here, 50, 100 yards, it's quite mucky and it's starting to get overgrown.
Yes, well, it's logical that, state money has been put into developing the 3 kilometres from Abbey Field to here. I don't think anybody wants to go on a walk necessarily that just ends at nothing. But as you can see, Brian, one field away from us here, there are motor cars passing. And I think anybody that's coming to raid houses, very few houses along the track you will have noticed as well. So there's no evidence whatsoever, as I mentioned earlier, like the Gardaí, have no evidence of anything like this, of people coming along a railway track, long distances to conduct the robbery. That is a red herring in my view.
So what's the next phase in this?
Threat of legal action was made back in January and nothing came of it. And as I say, that is flying a kite as far as we're concerned, because the ownership is securely in CIE hands. Like, not everybody is going to be happy with something new. And I think unnecessary fears are being stirred up by this thing of anti-social activity and robberies and so on, of which there is no evidence on the ground.
That's Liam O'Mahony there, Brian. And finally, you met a local historian, a man with a very good family name, even if I'd never heard of him.
Dr. Alan O'Rourke, he's no relation, is he?
No.
And he was in the area to launch a new book called The North Kerry Line. I grabbed a quick chat with Alan about the historical uses of the line, and also, seeing as he's a railway historian, I wondered, could he shed any light on who actually owns it?
It was built in sections. The first section was from Limerick down to Foynes, which opened in stages between 1856 and 1858. And the great hope then was that Foynes would turn into a transatlantic port and there would be liners taking people across to America. Well, that never quite happened. Another company came along and completed the line from Newcastle west to Tralee. And a little bit later on, the final link in the chain was a fourth company which built a branch from Tralee out to the harbour at Phoenix.
And at its height, how many trains a day would have been passing here?
Well, by Irish standards, not too bad. The peak service would have been shortly before the First World War, when there were 3 or 4 passenger trains each way along the whole length of the line, and there were 1 or 2 goods trains each way. That was the regular basic service. But there were periodic great surges because the railway served the livestock fairs in places like Listowel and Rathkeel. There was big traffic in fish from Phoenix, and dedicated fish trains would run carrying salted mackerel and herrings right from Phoenix right through to Waterford for export.
So do you have sympathy for people who will say, look, this line hasn't been used in 20 years and we've built up our house and our family is living adjacent to it?
I can understand their viewpoint, but I think those views can be dealt with. My impression is that people who go walking 10 or 12 miles from the nearest town out in the countryside are unlikely to be doing it for joyriding. If you want to go somewhere for a bit of a shindig and a bit of illicit drinking, you're not going to walk 8 or 10 miles out into the middle of the country to do it. So I imagine most people who are going to use the long distance path or the footpath will be fairly quiet, serious-minded people who really want a bit of exercise, and far from getting involved in noise, they actually want to get away from it and do something nice and quiet and peaceful.
And is it clear to you as a historian that ownership of this line remains with the railway company?
Yes, to the best of my knowledge, the land was bought by the railway companies who built the line in the 19th century. In due course, they were grouped into larger railway companies.
So some of those people who are protesting today, their great-great-great-grandfathers could have benefited from selling parts of the land to the railway company.
Yes, to the best of my knowledge, the land still technically belongs to CIE. It is CIE, or if you like, state property throughout.
And that's historian Dr. Alan O'Rourke. His book is called North Kerry Line. Finally, Brian, what happens next?
Well, what happens next is the meeting has to take place with Kerry County Council. I know Minister Alan Kelly as well is in favour of the project. It looks like funding will be made available and is in place. The group in favour, they say there's widespread public support. The group opposed to it say they've done a survey of houses living beside a line and the majority are opposed to it. So I think, you know, that's where it lies at the moment. At the end of the day, the taxpayer owns the land, so I can't see anything but this line being opened up, but there needs to be more negotiation with the locals.
Brian, no doubt you'll be watching it. Brian O'Connell, thanks for that report. Back with tales of mountain climbing gentry after this break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.